fog, right? So, and it took me to lighthouses. So the lighthouses then, once I started to review some lighthouses, it took me to bells. And at a lighthouse, there's also a bell. Did you know this? Like, so years ago, before there was bells, they had cannons, and they would shoot the cannons off so the people out in the boats would know where land was when the fog was out there. Did you know that? Like, I never really realized that. So anyhow, the long story short, as that kind of progressed and we got into more modern, they started to use bells because the bells could be heard so much further than a cannon. So, like, if a boat is way out 6 miles out, at the shoreline, you can hear a boat's horn or a boat's bell, but you can't hear the cannon, which I thought was interesting. And if you, side note, if you want to know if Muslims can ring bells, you should Google that, because that was an eye-opening experience, which I never knew. So that's just, you can Google that. So this lady, so the bells would be rung so the boats out in the fog could hear where land was, right? It would give them a sense of direction. They could hear, okay, if they're coming upon a reef or they're coming upon an island or something. So this lady, in 1906, her name was Juliet Nichols, and she was a lighthouse keeper. She took her husband's job when he died in war, and she was this lighthouse keeper. And as she went out and did her job one night, it was in San Francisco Bay, and actually I want to get to this island now once I found out about this story. It was called, she was the gatekeeper on Angel Island in San Francisco Bay. And she went out to do her job, and all of a sudden the fog rolled in. And this was an important job in San Francisco Bay at the time in 1906. There's a lot of stuff coming in and coming out, and the fog rolls in. People can't see anything. And then she hit the button to make the mechanical bell ring, and guess what happened? It didn't ring. It stopped. It broke. It would not work. There's no way to communicate back. She couldn't get out there and you know, get to the boats to let them know what was going on unless that bell was ringing, and she couldn't get to the mainland to get help. So the only thing she could do was pick up this nail hammer, right? And she went out to the bell, and the rang was every 15 seconds that rang twice. So the boats going through where the land was, so they wouldn't have an accident. For 20 hours and 2 minutes, every 15 seconds, she pounded on that bell. Twice. Every 15 seconds for over 20 hours. Or was it 22 hours? Yeah, 20 hours and 22 minutes. So this lady went out there and pounded on it, and she was recognized, obviously, because she saved a lot of cargo, saved a lot of lives that night by her and her hammer. So they eventually closed that island down, but they still have the, and they say, so this 4,000-pound bell is still on the island, and you can see the ball peen hammer marks in the side of the bell, where for 20 hours she was pounding that thing. Boom, boom, boom. Because of the fog, right? Why don't you tell a fog joke at church? Because the punchline might be missed. Yeah, I get it. It might be missed. Okay. And I've heard that women are better at driving in the fog. Did you know this? Atlee, did you know this? No idea? Yep. Because it's said that they're used to not knowing where they're going. Okay, that's my only woman joke about driving. Otherwise, I'll be shot. And then, why was fog put on the terror watch list? it was considered an extreme mist. Okay, all right, so, yep, so we go from fog to jokes to a sermon. Lord, speak to us this morning out of your word as we continue looking at faith. Lord, help us to remember that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That's your definition of faith for us, Lord. Help us to remember that. You know, we pray, amen. Okay, so last week we ended up looking at Abraham, and we're kind of rolling into Sarah this morning. And we're in Hebrews 11 again. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain what we do not see. That faith is being sure of what we hope for, not maybe, but sure of what we hope for and certain. So we talked about Abraham last week and how he was looking forward. He was sure, he was certain, he was looking forward, and he was commended for that, just as we have looked at Noah and Abel and all the Enoch, and as we've been going through this chapter of 11. Today we're looking at Sarah. But before we get to Sarah, I wanted to stop out on this because last week I talked about some of the people speaking about the war in Iran and about the prophecy, what people say, could this be the prophecy of Jeremiah? So I wanted to touch base on that quickly because it's kind of ironic that with Iran and Abraham, there's a connection, right? There's always a connection. And as we see what's going on in the Middle East, people are like, is this a prophecy that is taking place? And I'm going to tell you, I don't know. God knows. God knows the drill. God handles all that, but it could be. So Jeremiah, and I'm not sure if you heard pastors this week talking about, a lot of people have been talking about Jeremiah 49. I'm going to read this quick. Jeremiah chapter 49, verses 34 through 39. And I don't know how far we'll get into Sarah today, to be quite honest. If we get too long, we might push off that till next week. But Jeremiah 49, this is what the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet concerning Elam early in the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah. So Elam was what? Elam is modern day Iran. So this is the word that came. This is what the Lord Almighty says. See, I will break the bow of Elam, the mainstay of their might. I will bring against Elam, Iran, the four winds from the four quarters of the heavens. I will scatter them to the four winds, and there will not be a nation where Elam exiles did not go. Okay? I will shatter Elam before the foes, before those who seek their lives. I will bring disaster upon them, even my fierce anger, declares the Lord. I will pursue them with the sword until I have made an end of them, and I will set my throne in Elam and destroy her kings and officials, declares the Lord. Yet I will restore the fortunes of Elam in the days to come. A lot of people say that, okay, could, when Iran was taken over by the by the current Muslim regime that's there in the 1979. Remember when hostages were there? I was a kid and I had a wristband that said 53 and it was about these hostages. People say, well, that could be when that's when a lot of the people in Iran, the Persians, exiled out of their country. Could that be part of this? I don't know. Exiled. And there's huge amounts of Persian people, Iranian people, Elam people that have left or scattered. We see these celebrations taking place because people are saying, you don't understand. We had a country and these people came in and took our country over. And it was the regime that's there now, this terroristic regime that in the last couple months have killed thousands and thousands of people, of their own people, because the people running the country, it's not their own people. So that's what's kind of taken place in Iran, and that's why now our country, Israel, which we know, we see what's going on, but is this prophecy? I don't know. Could it be? Yes, it could be. But what we do know is this. Elam, Iran, has a special place because Scripture tells us, I will restore the fortunes of Elam in the days to come. We know that they're going to be attacked. We know that people are going to scatter. We know, and even in verse 38, I will set my throne in Elam. What to remember, if we talked about last week as well, of the Prince of Persia, where the Prince of Persia blocked the word of God given to an angel to get to Daniel, and that was blocked, and that was blocked in Persia. In that spiritual realm that we don't see, that we don't understand. I don't understand it because I can't see it, right? But we know this has taken place, and this block has taken place. Stuff going on. How to explain it? God is in God's hands. He knows. And I just find it very interesting when you read this of what's taking place. And when you look at it, transpires. And where does it go? But we know that the Lord will set his throne again in Elam, and the fortune will come back to them. And we also know that, and moving up to the end times are coming at some point. I don't know when. I just know some coming. That's some. Be dead, but it's coming again, right? So we need to be ready. So you might be hearing that. And why I wanted to pull that out is because as we looked at Hebrews and we looked at Abraham, Abraham was involved here. Not now, but years ago, because when these battles would take place, Elam was, and you can, it's in Genesis, you can look at it, 14, 18 through 24, it talks about this battle that took place in Elam, modern day Iran. And during that battle, after this stuff happened, the people of Elam was the nation, the king there, when they took everything out and they left this area where Abraham was, what did they take? They took his nephew. They stole his nephew, the king of Elam, and took him. You can see that in Genesis. And so they took Lot and they went. Then Abraham took his guards. He had, you know, Abraham wasn't a poor guy. He had hundreds of his own trained warriors that then went to go get Lot back from the king of Elam. Interesting, isn't it? It's also interesting as we get in today and we look at today, we talk Abraham, we talk about Sarah. Hebrews, I'll read this passage of scripture. And actually, I'm going to read it out of a couple different passages because I didn't like my translation as much. The current NIV translation says this in verses 11 and 12. And by faith, faith is what? Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith, that's faith. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, because he was old, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sands on the seashore. King James Version says this, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. She was older, right? She went through the phase of life where you're not going to have any more children. because she judged him faithfully who had promised. So she judged and she was enabled to have a child. Obviously, it was God's plan, God's will that was taking place there. And then verse 12, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable, which King James is very, I'd have to break and translate it myself, and that the older NIV. But Sarah, so as we look at today's message and we look at Sarah, the importance here and the importance of this stuff that we're looking at in this prophecy and with Abraham and all this stuff, the involvement of Abraham, because Abraham is what? Abraham's the father of the Israelites, and he's the father of, right? That's where he, and Christianity stems from Abraham, because Christianity comes through the line of Israel, through Christ, that we get our salvation, and to Christ and the Jewish scriptures of who the Messiah is, but at the same time, going back now to Abraham and Sarah, there is this thing that took place with Abraham, Sarah, and Sarah's maidservant, right? Which we all know, and that came from Ishmael. Today's message, the title of it, is who made the promise? Who made this promise? Made a promise, didn't he? God made a promise to Abraham that he would have a son. Okay. Sarah knew the plan. Abraham knew the plan. God had a plan that a child would be born. Who made the promise? God made the promise. As we go back and look at Sarah, I'm not going to, due to time, I'm not going to read all this stuff, but for record, you can go into Genesis 12:3. You can go into Genesis 12. Genesis 16 talks about the life of Sarah and the whole process and thing that happened when Sarah, who wanted a baby, knew God was promising a baby, but guess what? After 10 years, still no baby. Still no baby. But she had faith. But she, and if you read Genesis, man, she had some questionable faith at some point, but she still was faithful. She still had faith. And you wonder why did she believe after 10 years of not having a child? Was she still faithful? Why was she faithful still? Like, you know, Abraham calls out and then faith as people. They had questions on their faith, but they're called out in the New Testament as these great people of faith, right? Well, if you look at Sarah, we talked about this last week. What was the promise that was given to Abraham that those who dishonor him would be dishonored? Those who dishonor him would be cursed, right? And those who protect him are protected and are blessed. Have been when Sarah and Abraham went into Egypt during, and when you, this says, walked through to feed the famine, and Abraham said to Sarah, which was his half sister, because that's how genetics worked then, and that's a totally different time frame. He said, hey, listen, Sarah, I'm going to say to Pharaoh that you're my sister because they're going to kill me because you're so beautiful and I want to live. So that's what I'm going to do. And she's like, okay, let's do that, because she wanted to live too. And she obviously wanted. So he was going to give his wife over to Pharaoh to be his wife. Right? We know that to take place. What happened then? Pharaoh takes her, this beautiful woman. Wow, I got this beautiful woman. And this, guess what happened to Pharaoh? He was cursed. He came back to Abraham and said, "What have you done to me? Why didn't you tell me this was your wife?" Those who dishonor Abraham would be cursed, dishonored. Did she know and remember that? That promise that God made that said, wow, my God is faithful, right? It could have been. Did she remember that? But 10 years went by, no child. 10 years went by, no child. So what did she do? So Sarah then, as she's in this path, remember going back to the fog. Sometimes in life, sometimes as we walk, and it happened no different to Sarah and Abraham and all the other great ancients of faith, the same thing takes place. We're walking, and it doesn't happen fast enough. Man, God, you told me I was going to have a child. I should have one right. And they keep walking and they persevere, but they don't persevere long enough. And then we start to think to ourselves, okay, I need to do it my way. God wanted me to do it this way. So Sarah, at the time then, calls her maidservant, Hagar, and Abraham sleep with her so she can have a child. And then I'll claim that to be mine. And that was Sarah's doing of now we have a child. And of course, we see what happened to that, right? That child then became Ishmael. And Ishmael then became the father of the Arabs, a blessed nation, a blessed in numbers, okay? A blessed in numbers nation, the Arabs. They weren't Israel. They weren't blessed as Israel was. But what do we know with Sarah, Hagar, and an angel that came down because they cast her out of camp when he was 16, because after they had Isaac, that's when there were some struggles, more struggles taking place. And they cast her out of camp. And the angel of the Lord came to Hagar and said, this is the plan. Ishmael. So we have Isaac and Ishmael, but the Lord said, hey, listen, this is what we know. The Arabs, no different. I love the Arab people. I love the Israelite people. And the Lord loves them more than me, right? The Lord has given his life for their salvation, no matter who they are. And I'm a Gentile. Okay. Ishmael went, and the angel came and told Hagar that Ishmael will be what? A wild man. A wild man. So as we see what's taking place now and we talk about what's going on in the Middle East, all this stuff takes place. All this stuff is breaking down. He's here now. All this stuff was taking place and we see it now. We see what happened during this time after 10 years. Of waiting, and almost 20 years of waiting before Sarah had Isaac. And she had the faith, and in the Genesis, and you can read about it, she had questions. Sarah wasn't sure. She laughed like, yeah, sure, now that I'm like old, how can I nurse a baby when I'm at my age? And the angel of the Lord said, I got this. And she had faith in that, right? But during that time, that struggle, that those years and years, was Sarah similar to us? Was she in the spiritual, faithful? We get back to that fog story. How many times in our Christian life we have faith in the Lord? We have faith in our salvation. We have faith that the Lord, the promises that the Lord gives us, that he will take care of us, right? That he has best for us. That if ask for wisdom, he will give wisdom. These faithful promises that God has given to us, just as these faithful promises that he gave to Abraham and Sarah. But yet Sarah and Abraham made these decisions because they were in this fog. They knew they had the faith, but it wasn't happening quick enough, was it? And sometimes you're out there beating on that bell with that ball peen hammer. Ding, ding. Every 15 seconds. Ding, ding. Ding. And you don't see anything. You just hear the sound. Because our faith has to be reminded of what is out there as we're going through our daily life sometimes where we're in this fog. The world around us is clouding us. Right? It does. It clouds us and we forget and our faith times slips and shifts and turns and we're not as strong in our faith as we should be. And you just keep listening for that bell. Ding, ding. Ding, ding. And it's kind of like the same thing, right? We're going to be with our Lord. The only way we can get into God's kingdom, into God's presence, is through the one person of Jesus Christ, right? That's our faith. And we have to remember, and you listen, and so many times as we through our life, just like Sarah here, she questioned and they had concerns because they were normal people just like us, but they were called out as these ancient of great people for their faith. And they're called Father Abraham, the father of the Jewish people, the father of the Arab people, these great nations, right? And even us as Christians now, since we have Jewish, you know, the Jewish stream, right, that we're grafted in, all this stuff, but they were just people. And they got clogged, they got many times clouded in a fog. Are we in a fog? We find ourselves in a fog. Are we in a faithful fog? Drive down the road and it's filled with fog. Like, what am I doing? What do you want me to do? But James reminds us, right? Perseverance. Because we know there's going to be times of struggle. There's going to be good times, bad times. And there's going to be times that it's just kind of quiet. And we listen for that bell. That bell, ding, ding. Right? We just keep our thoughts focused, looking forward of who made the promise. God has given us a promise. That's what we need to continue. Just so in our now faith, Abraham and Sarah's now faith, sometimes when you read Genesis, it was all over the place. They're called out in Scripture as these ancient, great people, right? Will our faith be recognized similar to, I mean, not, you know, this is Scripture. But at some point, I mean, would people look back and say, you know, those people at Encouraged Community Church, which used to be Esther stepped out on faith when the church was closed down and stepped in there to keep it running, right? Isn't that what happened? Well, people look back and say these people were faithful. And they supported missionaries. And yeah, they had problems and people had issues and stuff happened, but they supported these missionaries that reached a lot of people. Like, no, I don't know the end story here. I'm just into it, right? Let's one day at a time. What's our faith? Are we clouded in a faithful fog? If we are, remember the promises that God has given us. Continue to look forward to those promises. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I know that You are a faithful Father, a faithful God. Lord, I know that you love, you cherish us. You want the best for us. You want us to continue to walk just as Peter walked when he got out of that boat and walked on water. That's the faith you want us to have. Lord, so many times I feel lacking in my faith. Lord, I pray for this church that we have a faith that people will recognize something's different about us because we're walking different. We have this faith. If we're rich or if we're poor, if we're young or if we're old, it doesn't matter, but we have this faith that people recognize that there's something amazing that's going on in this person's life. And it's because we're faithful to you. Give us that strength, Lord. Give us that mindset. Help us, Lord. Fill us with your wisdom. Fill us with your spirit. And help us to continue to walk that trail, that track, even in the fog. We thank you, Lord, for this time that we can be here together. And Lord, as we come now and we come together and just get together to worship you, to worship you around a meal and just have some time together fellowshipping, help us to just talk about the faithfulness of who you are. And in your name we pray. Amen. Where's